engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus began to reproach the towns where most of his mighty deeds had been done, since they had not repented. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And as for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will go down to the netherworld. For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
So we have here today the feast of a saint well-loved in North America in the 17th century, St. Kateri, as she has come to be known, Kateri from Catherine, the way that the Native Americans pronounced it, from upstate New York. Yeah, I don't know how many of you have been to the Orisville, the shrine of the North American martyrs. I was privileged to not only be there a number of times, but to bless the big monument they have up there to the unborn child. But that's where we see the glory and all the history of the North American martyrs. And Caterius was from up in that region and eventually relocated to across the border in Canada. She was the first Native American to be declared blessed by the Catholic Church, and then Pope Benedict XVI canonized her just back in 2012, not that many years ago, and called her, Pope Benedict did, the protectress of Canada and the first Native American saint. So to our Native American brothers and sisters especially, we rejoice with you today on this feast and acknowledge together with everyone that the call to holiness is indeed universal, reaching across the globe, across various nations and ethnic backgrounds. The readings that we heard today, you know, the conclusion of that first reading has a beautiful verse in it, which can be translated this way: unless you stand in faith, you will not stand at all. And this is speaking to what Jesus said in that gospel passage. It's another way, the warning we heard him give here today is another way of him saying, to whom much is given, much will be expected. In other words, the gospel has been preached among us. And Kateri knew this and exemplified it in her life. The gospel has been preached among us, and therefore we have to stand firm in faith. Because we have been given so much, we need to show the fruits of it. We need to repent, and we need to grow in holiness. Otherwise, what kind of judgment will we have? God will say, not only did you have Moses and the prophets, you had Christ, the Gospels, the church, the example of the saints, the constant teachings of the magisterium, you had all of this. Where is the fruit? Recalls for us, doesn't it, what we preached about the other day? God planted a vineyard, as he said through his prophets, looking for the fruit on it, and did not find it. I waited for grapes, and it bore wild grapes. Jesus is saying, if so many in the past who were punished for their sins had the benefit of the mighty signs and wonders and seeing what Jesus did and seeing so many evidences that he, in fact, is the one sent by God to be our Savior, they would have repented. What's wrong with us? And so constantly bearing this fruit. So many people who have just a little bit of an understanding of who God is seek him so fervently. So many people who understand just a fraction of what the law of God requires carry it out so faithfully. And then we who have the fullness of the faith, the fullness of the truth, the fullness of the gospel, are so often dropping the ball. Jesus warns us about this today. So St. Kateri heard the call of Jesus. She heard the gospel. She heard the preaching of the faith and embraced it. So in love with Jesus was she that she decided to remain a virgin. And you know, again, as we reflected the other day when we were reflecting about the religious life, the consecrated life, the decision to remain a virgin is a holy calling of God, not because human sexuality is bad, but precisely because Jesus announces that the kingdom of God is among us, and that kingdom so enthralls us, that kingdom so embraces our hearts and our souls and our minds, that we give ourselves in love completely to Jesus as a sign of the way it's going to be for all of us in the life to come. When that union with God is perfect, and when we are not married or given in marriage, but rather are a sign in the world now of what it's going to be like then, where each of us is totally and completely united with God, and therefore more united with one another than we could ever be in this world. So to have that undivided attention on Christ and to be that sign in the world of the world to come, she embraced virginity. And that was unheard of among the Indians. Unheard of. She was urged, pressured, in fact, to marry. It was so expected. She was pressured to marry. She was also pressured to work on Sunday, not observe the Lord's Day. But she refused to violate that commandment. And then she was treated as a slave among her people, put to work for the village, and she was persecuted and mocked for her faith. As she grew in that faith, as she expressed that faith, persecuted and mocked. Archbishop Charles Chaput, former Archbishop of Philadelphia, he's of American Indian descent himself, and he said this about St. Kateri and the example she gives us. He said, "I think many young people today are embarrassed about embracing the Catholic faith because they live in a secular culture that's hostile towards religious experience. St. Kateri also grew up in a place where there was great hostility towards Christianity, but she resisted all efforts to turn her away from her faith. So in some ways, she would become a model of fidelity in the face of persecution on religious freedom grounds." That was the quote of Archbishop Chaput. You know, this is very significant for our times because we're living in a culture where, number one, you may be mocked and criticized for something as simple as having a cross or statue of Mary, a rosary in view, whether it's in your car or in your office. And the expression of our religious faith should be something that we are able to do without fear of being mocked or criticized. But we know full well that that is often the price that we have to pay. We get through that, brothers and sisters, and we persevere in that by keeping a few key things in mind. First of all, we get nourished by just that deep, personal, heartfelt relationship with Christ, that we know what we are doing is right. We know he protects us and rewards us. And the other thing to keep in mind is that those that may mock or criticize us or look down on us are not the ones who will judge us. And that's what we need to understand, and they need to know that we understand that. They are not going to be our judge on the last day. What we're going to have to answer for is not what do they think about us. That it does not enter into our judgment at all. We're not going to have to answer for them, for their lack of faith. We don't have to respond to God. We have to respond to God and answer at the judgment for the grace he gave us individually, for the insight he gave us into the faith, for the longing he gave us to follow in the ways of the Spirit. That's what we are going to be judged on. And so we say to those around us, look, I'm being a witness to the faith. I hope that it gets through to you a little bit and inspires you maybe to look into who God is, but I'm not answerable to you at the judgment. I'm answerable to the one that I'm following, the one that I'm loving. And they don't have the peace that you do. You take refuge in our Lord, in our Lady, in the saints, in the Sacred Heart, in the Eucharist, in the Spirit, in the Scriptures. You live out your faith. You have a peace and a joy that those who are mocking and criticizing you do not know. They don't know it. They don't have it. They can't get it until they repent. They're going to have a lot to answer for, just like Jesus said in the Gospels, the mighty signs and wonders, the evidence of the gospel, the truth of the faith, the existence of the church, the availability of the Scriptures, the knocking on the door of the heart that the Spirit is doing every day. God is saying to them, you have it too. You have it too. In fact, one of the things that's going to make the judgment hard for those that mock you or try to have you not practice your faith, one of the things that's going to make the judgment hard for them is you. It's not that they're making life hard for you. You're making it even harder for them. Because when they face the judgment, God is going to say, well, didn't you have Mary in your life? And didn't you have John in your life? And didn't you see how much how happy they were for practicing the faith and how at peace they were and how generous they were and how fervently they believed? Didn't that give you a clue? The judgment's going to be harder for them because of your good example. And you see, that's where we also have to keep this firmly in mind, that we, in living the faith, in practicing the sacraments, in going to Mass, in reading the Scriptures, in praying the Rosary, and all the different things we do that others may mock us for, and those who, like Kateri, embraced even virginity for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, we need to show the fruits of that holiness. People need to look at us not just performing the religious actions or professing our faith. Let them see the fruits of holiness, our generosity of spirit, our kindness, our forgiveness, our integrity. If they see that, those fruits of the Spirit shining through, those virtues on full display in us, we are truly the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We need them to see, even as they persecute us, we need them to see such evidence of the fruits of following the Spirit that they end up saying, how can I get what they have? Remember when King Herod had John the Baptist under arrest, right? He had him in prison. The Scripture says he would listen to him preach, and even though he was disturbed, he was at the same time attracted by his words. That's often the dynamic, too, between us and those who persecute us. They hate what we stand for, but then at the same time, many of them have this interesting fascination, and there's a certain pull, there's a certain attractiveness to what we are saying and doing. They may not admit it, they might not even fully admit it to themselves. But they were made according to the Word of God, too. And that truth resonates in them in a way that the words of falsehood do not. They'll have other people gathered around them to give them comfort in their misery, their emptiness of life, devoid of authentic meaning because they know not the Lord. But that's a cheap consolation. the fact that they're surrounded by others who find life equally meaningless and also have no moral compass and are just in misery because of their selfishness, there's going to be something that attracts them to the peace and the fulfillment that we find in the Spirit. We're living in a day when religious freedom is under attack, and we saw again the evidences of this just recently, where again the Supreme Court had to reaffirm our religious freedom, not just in church on Sunday, but in the workplace on Monday. How we, if we are a ministry like we are here at Priests for Life, and we have employees and we offer health insurance to our employees, and we don't want that health insurance to be covering abortion or contraception, because everything we do is done in accordance with our faith, the Supreme Court had again to defend our right to do that. While some people in our government, like Joe Biden and the Democrat Party, literally want to take that freedom away, and they're going to presume, and they are presuming, to say to us what is and isn't important in our faith, what does and doesn't matter, what does or does not contradict our service to God. It's not up to them to tell us that. They're not here to judge or evaluate our religious beliefs. If they're in government office, they're supposed to protect those beliefs, not judge them, but protect them, not evaluate us or second guess us in the living of our faith, but protect our right to live that faith. This is a great reminder, this feast of St. Kateri Tekoitha, of the value of that freedom. The value of that freedom that these United States of America were founded on, to worship God as we see fit, as he tells us, as his word instructs us, as his church encourages us, and thereby to find that happiness, that peace, those fruits of the Spirit that no one can take away from us. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.